All right, please turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We're going to be starting in verse 22 and ending in verse 30. Now, before I start, I'll say that the portion of Scripture that I'm going to be speaking on, it picks up after Jesus has finished explaining to the Pharisee Nicodemus what it means to be born again. So let's pick it up in verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. And in chapter 4, Scripture tells us that Jesus was not actually doing the baptizing, but his disciples were, probably so the people that were getting baptized couldn't brag that, oh, Jesus baptized me. Verse 23, John also was at Aenon near Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized. For John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all of them and all are going to him. And notice the exaggeration here. All are going to him. You know that wouldn't be true. And it was probably fueled by jealousy and competition, which should never happen in ministry. Verse 27, John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. And take note here, therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. And I'm going to use verse 30 here as the foundation to show just how vital humility is in the life of a Christian. Humility is a topic that is oftentimes overlooked or avoided altogether. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And you say, well, how did Christ walk? He walked in love and in humility. Same thing with John the Baptist. We all have pride in our hearts. And deep down, we can be pretty stinking selfish at times. The world will call pride a virtue, but God calls it sin. And I'm concerned that a lot of Christians are afraid to examine the pride in their own hearts to see what they might find. Now, you may ask yourself, what exactly is a biblical definition of humility? Humility is about knowing who owns you, having the right view of yourself before God. It is the complete opposite of having a sense of entitlement. It is not living your life feeling like you're owed something. And if you're a Christian, you should realize that it is not really your life anyways. God purchased you at the price of his son's blood. It is not about you, it has never been about you, and it will never be about you. It has always been about Christ, his will, and his glory. Scripture tells us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And yet it isn't amazing how many professing Christians live their lives like God and their neighbors owe them something. And the truth is, outside of Christ, we're evil, wretched, and vile sinners who have fallen short of his glory. And because of our own human depravity and fallenness, we deserve eternal damnation. That's all God owes us. And yet, because God is so loving, so gracious, and so merciful, when he owed me nothing, he gave me everything. He gave us Christ. He gave us Christ to die in our place for our sins, and out of God's love, Christ became sin for us, so that we can have life for eternity. And until a Christian realizes that God owed you hell, but sent his son to go through hell for you, you cannot understand what it means to be humble. And I'm appalled at how many Christians have bought into the giant lie called the self-esteem movement. Excuse me. This sense that the source of happiness is to think very highly of yourselves, to be confident in yourself, to love yourself. And I'm here to tell you that I sin the most when I view myself as a good person. God does not view people as good people and bad people. He views them as perfect and imperfect, righteous and unrighteous. 2 Timothy 3 says, in the last days, difficult times will come. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I sin the most when I put my confidence and trust in myself. Christ is to be our greatest love, far above ourselves. 2 Corinthians 3:4 tells us that the confidence we have is supposed to be through Christ towards God. If we are the source of confidence, joy, peace, and satisfaction, it is like building your house on the sand. There's no foundation to stand on when the rough times come. But when Christ is our rock, we can endure all things, because you cannot get a more solid foundation than the Lord Jesus. Never defend your sins. Always proclaim the Savior of your sins. Jesus was the most humble person to ever live. If anybody had the right to be proud, it was him. He is God. He had no sin. And yet he humbled himself by willingly leaving his heavenly throne to become fully man and willingly paying the wages of sin for us. And Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 describes Christ's humility in a great way. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus even lowered himself as a servant by washing the feet of his disciples to display his own act of humility. And Acts chapter 20, 35 tells us, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And on the Sermon on the Mount, Christ said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Not the rich in spirit, but the low in spirit. And we should never forget our own spiritual bankruptcy. How you view yourself is really about how you view your Lord. Even the cost of following Christ requires the ultimate display of humility. Jesus said, "If anybody is to come after me, let them deny himself." You can't deny yourself if you love yourself. It's impossible. If you think you're a good person, then you must be in no need of a Savior, right? Only those who are humbled can deny themselves. "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for the sake of Christ will find it." And I'm concerned that a lot of professing Christians haven't truly denied themselves. They are still in love with their own sinful nature, and they are deceived into believing that they're actually regenerate, but yet still live like the world. Even the Apostle Paul, he understood humility very well. And in Romans chapter 1:14, he says, "I am debtor to the Jews and to the Greeks, to the wise and to the unwise." In other words, he owed everybody and nobody owed him. And Paul, while being a godly man who delighted in the law of God, still understood his own sinfulness. He said things like, "Oh, wretched man that I am, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh." And that comes from the author of 13 books in the Bible. Sin no longer has dominion over us, but we are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. But sin is still present in our lives. Our own sin should bother us and lead us to repentance. Scripture tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. If we ever have the desire to steer off the straight and narrow, our fear of the Lord should immediately force us to obey his commands, to not run away from him when trials and temptations come, but only to run to him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 tells us that besides Christ, John the Baptist was the greatest man to ever live. His ministry was incredibly fruitful, and yet he remained humble. John the Baptist obeyed the will of God by preparing the way for the Lord instead of getting in the way of him. He referred to Christ with tremendous humility, saying, "The strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." True Christian leaders are like John the Baptist. They are wise in their humility by redirecting their followers and pointing them to Christ. John the Baptist found a complete joy in exalting Christ and lowering himself. I'm not one of those Christians who have a life verse. Instead, I prefer just to say I have a lifesaver, and I'm not talking about the candy, believe it or not. But frankly, the Word of God is far too loving, pure, holy, and rich for me just to choose one verse to call my favorite. But if I were to choose one verse, it would probably be John 3:30. "We were created for worship, nothing else, to honor and glorify God in all that we do, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I can't impress God, but I can please Him. Therefore, we must make nothing of ourselves and everything of Christ. He must increase and we must decrease. And in conclusion, I'm going to read Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 through 11. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.